God has a plan for each and every one of us tonight.
I believe that the Lord has had a plan for everyone that is in the earth today, that the Lord knows them and has a plan for them. I'm not meaning to say that I believe that everyone will accept that plan or that everyone will take advantage of the things that God has for them. But I believe God has already planned and knows each person before they were born. While they were yet in their mother's womb, I believe God knew them and knew the life that they would live. I believe that the Lord calls some people to high places in this world. I believe He calls some people to low places. He said of the rich and the poor, I have made them both, saith the Lord. He makes poor and He makes the rich. He makes people in their stations of life. And I believe in every place that the Lord makes, that He has a place of fulfillment for a person. I believe that they can be satisfied and faithful. As a matter of fact, I believe that the only place that you can really be satisfied in life is in the place that the Lord has made for you to be. I think God has a way of doing that for each and every one of us. I thank God tonight for this, since we're not talking to the whole world, but we're talking to this assembly here, that you, the Lord's got a place for you. And in that place is your best hope of happiness. In that place is your best hope of fulfillment. That place that the Lord has made and desires to meet you in is God-given, your station of life. Male, He made you male, or He made you female. He made you to be who you are, your height. I look around here and there's none two of us alike. Identical twins aren't even exactly alike. They are called identical, but their fingerprints are different. Many things are different about them. And I look around and I see there's some tall and there's some short and some have thin hair and some have thick and some are one thing and some are another. And God, how He done it, it took God to do it, but He made us all different, didn't He? Of all, everybody that's ever lived in the earth, there's none too that's been exactly alike. He's made us all different. There's about 7 billion people on the planet now, I suppose, they say. And they're all different. And I can't hardly even think in billion terms, but there are that many people and they're all different with their uniqueness. And God knows every one of them. And He knows exactly what's right for them. And He knows what He's put them there for. And He has the ability to make a special life out of every one of them. So Lord, help us tonight. I wanted to lay that as a foundation for the thought that I have. It's over. I want to read a scripture over in the 25th chapter of Leviticus. It says in the 8th verse, it says, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which is grown of itself in it, nor gather the grapes of it, of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of the years after the Jubilee thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruit he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits does he sell unto thee. You shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God. For I am the Lord your God. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And in the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, What shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year, until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. I'm amazed at the Lord's ways. The Lord had quite a plan for the people back then. A plan that would cause the people to be able to live with one another in a way that would secure them in the land. It would be impossible for a person to get too rich or have too much land, because in the 50th year, it all returned back. Regardless of how many years he had it, or how much he done to it, or how much he added to it, or whatever he did, that land that the Lord had given, see, the Lord had given by tribes the land, the promised land unto the people of Israel, unto the tribes. He had given their lands to dwell with one another in their spaces, in the places that the Lord had given them. I mentioned today the scripture that said, Let my lines fall unto me in pleasant places. That was the idea of saying to the Lord, Lord, allow my inheritance to fall in the places that you choose. Because I don't know what's best for my life. I don't know where I ought to live or what I ought to do. So Lord, you choose my lines, my dwelling place, my place of existence. Lord, I'm willing to cast that upon you, because I know I'd make a mess of my choices. Humans don't think like God thinks, and I'm more comfortable with God's thinking than I am my own thinking. And that's why I can honestly say to you that if God would come to me and say, Marty, I'm going to give you a life, any life of number of years that you want in life, I'll give you that number. I will allow you to live where you want to live. I'll give you as much prosperity as you want to have. I will let you to live the way I want you to tell me, and I'll let you do it. I'd have to decline that to the Lord. I'd have to say, Lord, I'm not capable of knowing those things. Not that God would, but if God did, I'd have to say to Him, Lord, I'd be a lot more comfortable if you just go ahead and do it for me, because I don't know how to do that for myself. But the Lord made a plan here with this, and when He established them by tribes and boundaries of the families and the family groups that He'd have in a certain place, He knew by nature that there'd be some that would buy this up, and they'd buy that up, and they'd do that, and before long the whole dynamics of that situation would be totally lost. And so He made a system to where that it would all come back, and whether they'd done it rightfully and got gain of it, or for their own folly, or whatever happened to them in life, whatever situation had happened to them in life, that 50th year would come and it would revert everything back. If they had got themselves, maybe by their own doings, maybe by circumstances, they had got themselves into a situation that possibly they had to sell themselves. That was very common back then, that they would have to say, I'm not able to pay you. I'm not able to pay you. So the only way I can pay you is that I'll be your servant and set themselves, or maybe a child or something. They did those kind of things. But it would only last for a certain period of time, because there was a year coming that the Lord had said that there was a year that all of it goes back to the way God had ordained it to be, the way God had caused it to be. This is the way it was going to go back. And it would go back to the original. No matter whatever else happened, it would go back to the family that had originally had it, and think of that, it would almost eliminate certain ways of poverty because a certain amount of years they would get the land back and the value of the land and the vineyards and the fields would return back to the families to be able to start again. You know, there's a great analogy in this. Some historians suppose that Jesus was, if you'd accounted, and I don't know this, I just said I read it somewhere, that Jesus died in the year of the Jubilee. This scripture says in the 8th verse, I think it was, it was in the 9th verse, it said, "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement." It went to the Day of Atonement. And in that Day of Atonement, when the trumpet was sounded, then this brought forth the year of Jubilee. One of the songs in our book said, "Hallelujah, we are free, children of the Jubilee." And today, the likeness of this comes in and has come for ever since Jesus came. I believe He fulfilled all the Old Testament shadows. And I think this was one of the shadows. Amen. That a person can take their life and do. And God has a plan. God has a plan for your life, my life, all your life. Young people, God has a way. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for those people that live on the streets, those that are homeless, God, the drunkard, the drug addicts. God made a plan for them, and that was not the plan. That wasn't the plan God had. God never planned for a person to be a drunkard or a drug addict or given over to the lust of the flesh and all those. God never intended that. God had a wholesome and a right plan designed for every person's life. But every person don't follow the ways of the Lord. And they sell their land. They sell the inheritance that God gives them. The God-given right of peace. The God-given right of good things and of holy things. And of those, again, God made us, made man upright. But man sought out many inventions. He made a way of living. That scripture used to get me that talked about man sought out many inventions, because I'd always think in the way of automobiles and planes and the inventions of man. But you know, that wasn't what that scripture was talking about in any way. God made man upright, and man made a lot of other ways of living other than upright. He devised him ways that he could feel right about, that he could design and say, this is a proper way for a man to live. And he sought out many ways and many inventions of his own mind to justify his own life. But what he did, he gave up and forfeited. He forfeited the plan of God in his life when he did. And many people have done the same thing. And I'll witness to you tonight, I was one that squandered my land. I was one that gave up. I was one that gave up the land, the rightness of it, and the good things of life. I was one that squandered that off. I let the devil steal it from me. And I ended up in a place one day in my life that I didn't have any of this left in my life. There was no plan of God in my life. There was nothing left in my life. Then the trumpet sounded. The trumpet sounded in my life. And the year of Jubilee started for me. And there was a time that the Lord, I went to the Lord, and the Jubilee sounded. And now, guess what? How remarkable. The Lord gave it back. He gave back His intention for my life. He gave back the plan that He had of my life to be able to live right, live in peace, to be able to do things right, to walk uprightly, to be able to look my fellow man in the eye without having to drop my head. Why? Because I didn't cheat him anymore. I didn't lie to him anymore. I can stand up now with integrity because God gave me something back in this year of Jubilee. If any man was sold, do you know if he sold himself, whatever man was a bond servant, do you know these men in the year of Jubilee? Do you know they were set free? They were set free. They didn't have no master anymore. They were set free. And I know my mind used to think, well, that didn't hardly sound fair because a person would owe something and all this. But you know that scripture brings it out perfectly fair to everyone, because the man knew, everybody that was dealing in this system knew that there was going to be a year of Jubilee, that there was going to be on the 10th day as it says here, on the 10th day of the 7th month, at the Day of Atonement, every man would know this is going back. This is going back. Let it be known that this thing goes back on that time. The old devil thinks he gets some people and he gets them all tied up. Oh, how disappointed he must be when he gets them all bound and tied and he thinks he's got all their goods and they've sold himself completely and he owe the old devil all this stuff. And then the sound of the trumpet comes and thank God for it, that you all tied up and in bondage. And then here's the sound, and all of a sudden here's a heart that turns to the Lord. And the jubilee sounds again. The freedom comes back. I thank God for that today. But in this system that God made, you can see what a beautiful system that the Lord had. And I want to encourage us tonight that there isn't any place that you go in your life, folks. Listen. When you find the old devil wooling you up, when you found out that you lose ground, when you found out that you've lost something precious, don't give up. I'm going to tell you, there's a place that the Lord give it back. The Lord's got a plan for everyone in here. And do you know that age doesn't even make a difference in it? There was a story in the Scripture, you all probably very aware of it, of a man that went out. He went out to find work. You remember the man that went out and he hired him from the beginning of the day, and he hired the laborers that was out there. But then he comes along and there's a man out there with only an hour of work left in the day, and he stood there all day. And the master says to him, who said, What are you out here all day and not working? And he said, no man would hire me. And then he told him, said, well, you go work and I'll give you what's right. I'll give you what's fair. I'll give you your right reward for what you did. And so the man went out and he worked for the last bit. And you remember the story. And he come in and he started paying him. And he started with this man and he paid him a penny. And then the next men that come through that started, and as he gave them, he gave them all a penny for their labor. He said that he had bargained a penny, and a penny he paid. And he gave him the penny all the way down. He gave him the penny. And then what happened? The men that was they said they bore the heat of the day. They said that we would get more. Because you paid this man that worked but an hour at the end of the day. And the cool of the day is that. And yet you paid him a penny. But us, we bore the heat. We thought surely there would be more. And they had an indignation about him. And he looked at this as an evil way and an evil proposition. I'm going to tell you tonight, that was not evil, folks. Amen. I'm going to tell you what those men, the idea and the heart that these men should have had. And this was a parable, but I'm going to tell you, it is so real to life, to men's hearts. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what their mind should have been. They should have looked at that guy and that master and said, thank God for you, good master. Thank God for you, because there may be a day that I don't have any work either. There may be a day that my family, you know, this man may have had children and family too, and he was willing to work, but he had no one hired him, and he had needs too, just like the rest of them. Wouldn't it be a great blessing for someone to open their hearts up and give you that at the time that you needed it the most? And why did he do it? Did he do it because he had a special thought or privilege towards this man? No, it's because he had a special thought towards all men. All men. It could have been one or it could have been the other one. It would have been any of them. He would have done it the same. Folks, God has something special for every one of us. I would never belittle anybody for getting a hold of this thing at any part of their life. Thank God for it. I hope the jubilee sounds in every man's heart. I've heard it said before, some people think that they'll live in this old sin world and they'll live and then they'll get saved at the last and they'll have their cake and eat it too. Oh, Christian friend, sin is no cake. Amen. Sin is no cake. Sin ain't a good thing for anybody. It's a reproach to all people. And to call it cake always was like, you think sin is a cake? It's corrupting them. And the Lord may have the jubilee for them in their life, but they'll still pay an awful price of sin. Oh, I pray that God would get everybody freedom. Freedom. I want to think right in this. I want to have it right. And oh, if we could just, as God's people, be able to give it, to be able to impart to the world around us, there's a jubilee for you. You may have squandered your youth. You may have squandered your middle age years. You may have given up on life, but there's a time for you. There's a time for you to be set free. There's time there are certain things that will never be brought back to you. But I'm going to tell you what can be brought back to you. Freedom can be brought to you. Peace and peace of mind can be brought back to you. I'm going to tell you, integrity can be brought. Honor can be brought back. Glory can be brought back to you. You may not ever get back some of the things that you've lost, because of what a man sows, he shall reap it. That's a truism that will go all the way through. There are certain things that you can do that it may never change in your life. But I'm going to tell you this. You can still be made free. You can still have peace in your life. So, the year of Jubilee, the year of freedom, Jesus came to buy that for every one of us. That we would get back the things that was lost out of our lives. And I thank God that He was able to do that with me. I look at that and say, that time that I was able to do it. And now I say, Lord, help me to be able to live that in my vineyard, in my land. Do you remember the scripture where there was a king? King Ahab. King Ahab had a neighbor. Naboth? Naboth was a neighbor of Ahab. And Ahab looked and coveted his vineyard. And he said, not necessarily because it was the greatest vineyard around, but it was because it was nigh unto his property. It bordered him. And he saw the value of increasing his property. So he goes to Naboth and he says to him, sell me your vineyard. Sell me your land. Give me that there. And he said, I will give you either a better vineyard, for surely there is better vineyards than yours. I will either give you a better vineyard, or I'll give you the worth of your vineyard in money. But I want your vineyard. And Naboth said, far be it from me to sell my vineyard, my inheritance. I'm going to tell you, that has such much more meaning in it than just a man and land. The meaning of this is that this inheritance put Naboth where God put him. He didn't put him off somewhere else. This was in an inheritance, and he looked at it as if God has put me here, and the value of where God has put me is far, far above what anybody else could ever give me. A vineyard of the Lord, a place that God has put me. You know, I appreciate people and their counsels and the things like that, but I have a lot higher value on the things that God has given me. You understand? The things that God has taught me in my life. The land that I hold today. The vineyard of my life. The convictions that I can say, these are God-given convictions. They're not given of man. They're not ordered of men. These are things God taught my soul. I'm not going to sell them. There's no price on these things. It's my land. The calling of God on my life is my calling. I'm not going to give it up. I'm not selling it. It's my place in God. And I find it that this is my road, my path that God has put me on to bless my life with. This is what I do. Of how valuable or how little you may think of it is not much consequence to me. Because I've got to follow this path for my own soul. This is what, when my Jubilee came, this is what God returned me back to that He had always desired of me. A place of honor, integrity, of honesty. A place of where He can lead and rule my life. This is what He brought me back to. And now I hold this land. My land. You have your land? You have it? Do you value it? Would you die for it? Naboth said, far be it from me. So Ahab went, and you remember the story? Ahab was very disturbed, and Jezebel says, we'll take care of this. We can take care of this. It was easy enough. A dead man needs no vineyard. But Naboth would die before he would give up the heritage, the place God made for him. You know, we was born to parents, and I did not choose who I was born to. Did you? I didn't make me to be 5'9". I'd have preferred to be 6'2", to be honest with you. I mean, just personal preference. If I could have been taller, I'd have been taller. But we don't make ourselves. And I have to say thank God for making me just the way I am. He chose me. Me, you might look at me and say, that's pretty pathetic. But He made me. This is me. What God has done. And you know, when we learn our place, it brings a confidence to us to live life with. You may say, my ears are too big. Or I've got this problem. Or I've got that problem. Never did like the way I look. God made you for your place and your time. We live in 2012. 2012. I'm going to say this. If you're faithful to God in 2012, there's something to be said for that. We live in quite a time now. But God chose you to live your span of life. If you're up there next to the end of it, well, that still extends into this time. But young people, God wants faithful people. Your lifetime, your span of life, God has chosen you from your date of birth until God takes you. He's chosen that for you and gave you a path that you can find the glory of God in right there. And it's what God made you to be. Don't lose that. Don't lose that. And if you're here and you've lost it, there's a Jubilee for you. There's a place to where it'll all be given back to you. And thank God for it. I find a value in serving God to die for. The children of Israel came up to the Jordan. They sent spies over to spy out the land. I believe there was 12. They went over and spied the land out. 10 of them came back and gave an evil report. They gave a negative report. They told the story right. Well, the cities are thick, walled. The men are like giants and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. It is a land that flows with milk and honey, but we are not able to take it. But there was two that said, the cities are walled. And the men are like giants, and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. And we are well able. Amen. We are well able to go and to get that land. Well able. Not just able, but well able. What made the difference? What made the difference? Faith. Faith in God. Faith in God makes the difference in our life too, folks. Faith in God. To believe in God. Do you believe God can give you back your land? Do you believe God can keep your land? Do you believe God can keep you in 2012? I believe tonight that we are well able, 2012 and beyond, to have victory. In this life, no matter what comes, no matter who wins the next election, no matter what they put in place, no matter what Congress comes up, no matter what they do, no matter what God allows, He's chosen us for 2012 and beyond, and we can be faithful to that and be successful. Do you know that the children of Israel could have marched across the Jordan and went and conquered them just like they did some 40 years afterward? Because God doesn't change. But they, and by the Bible says, they despised the land. their land. Understand? Their inheritance of God through Abraham, through the seed of Abraham, through Isaac the seed. They were promised this land. It was their land given to them. They had a promise that it was theirs. All they had to do was have faith to go get it. They had an inheritance. They had a place to live. And He told them, there's cities that you didn't build. There's vineyards that you didn't plant. And I'm going to give you these things. But it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you faith. You're going to have faith in God. You're going to have to be willing to fight for what's valuable to you. What God has given to you. God has given us something too. And He's given us something in this time that we live in. Lord, help us to have courage. You know, no matter what happens, God has a way of bringing us through. Old Daniel was a faithful man. He was taken out of his home and he was carried captive. But wait a minute, he was faithful. That's right. And God chose a place and time for Daniel. And Daniel went down into the captivity in a land that was so much different than the land he had been in. But he had God. And he rose to prominence in three different administrations of kings and set right in under the kings on them because he was a man who the spirits of the holy gods dwell in. A man above reproach. A man with integrity. A man in honor. Daniel, in his day and time, in old sinful paganistic Babylon, was faithful to God. And you know what God allowed him to do in his life? Proved that there was a God in heaven. Over and over again, he proved that there was a God in heaven to these people. So much so that the life of these men, them and others that was there, showed King Nebuchadnezzar the place of a real God, didn't he? There was a witness there to his life that there's a real God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're going to burn you up! We're going to burn you up! But wait a minute. There's a fourth man in there. The old song says, where did the fourth man... Oh, mama, where did the fourth man go? He's still in the fire. He's still in your trials. He's still right there where he's always been, looking out for his people, desiring that you and I would have a full experience of the Jubilee, that we would get back all that belongs to us, a full salvation that belongs to us, that we'd have it. Peace. And assurance in the time of any trial, any battle. Thank God. There's a place. I want to look at another familiar scripture. It's over in the... 61st of Isaiah. It says in the first verse, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. When Jesus came to this earth, the Jewish people, many of them, had a false idea of what this Christ would do when He came. They had an impression in their mind that there was going to be a restoration of their kingdom on this earth that would overthrow the Roman Empire and that they would set as their own rulers and they would be returned back to the glory that was once theirs. But they missed what the Lord was coming for. Oh, the Lord did want to restore them. The Lord was going to bring them back. But He done it right in spite of the Romans. He done it in the middle of the Romans. He did it in a way that could never be taken from the people that had it. You know, on this earth, rust does corrupt, moth does eat, and thieves do break in and steal. But there is something that the Lord brought to us that cannot be touched by the elements of this world. That's what the Lord wanted to have these people get a hold of. That your experience is not dictated by the motions of this life, of this world. The storms can rage and the winds can blow and the evil can come around you and it will not touch this experience. This, one of the old scriptures says that there is a way that the eagle's eye does not see. It's talking about the vulture, and there is a way that even the eagle's eye does not see. There's a way that God protects through Himself, and it's the way of His people. And I'm going to tell you, there's something that the world cannot touch. The devil can't take. He can't touch it. The experience in the Lord. He said He came to open the prison doors to them that were bound. The Jubilee has sounded. This was the Lord's prophecy of Himself. I'm coming to do something. I'm going to set the captives free. He wasn't talking about just people, although it may extend to that. He wasn't talking about people that was literally in the jails. He was talking about people that was bound and imprisoned in their own lives, their own selfishness, their own lust, the sins of their own lives, their own corruption that destroyed them. Men that wanted better that couldn't do no better. There's men that wants happiness of home and wife and of children, but their own lust tears at them till it destroys it. But the Lord's come that it might be set free. That a person and a man might stand up with integrity. Oh, you probably heard me tell this story. But I sold a man one time a car. I sold it for $400. He paid me part of the price of the car. And then he said, or before he paid, but he said to me, he said, "Well, can I pay you the rest payday? I've got this much and I'll pay you the rest payday, and payday's Friday." Oh, I remember thinking, oh, you know, I really need it. I was only selling it for $400. I thought, I really need this $400. Oh, no. I said, "Okay, you can pay me back payday." Well, he never come back around payday. As a matter of fact, several paydays come and went, and I never saw him. Then one day I went into the get a gas one morning going to work, and I'll go into the it was a Go Mart. Went into the Go Mart, and right ahead of me in line was this fella. And I mean right, and he done that, and he turned around and he looked me right in the eye, but only for a little bit. And he dropped his head and he kind of looked up and he said, "I'm going to pay you payday." And I needed the money. Okay, pay me payday. Payday. So he went on and he didn't pay me nothing. And this happened a few weeks later. I walked into the Go Mart again and walked right up behind him again. He pays for his stuff and turns around and there I am again, right behind him. He said, "I'm going to pay you payday. I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you payday. Okay, pay me payday." You know, I went and started dealing with that. This man owed me and I needed it. But you know what was happening to me? Something inside of me was starting to stir. A feeling against him. He owes me. And I need the money, and I was counting on it, and he's a thief. And these things started happening in me, and I started having feelings that I did not like. And I started asking the Lord about these feelings. You know, the Lord gave me a real simple answer. It cost me $175, but it was worth it. The Lord said, "Forgive him. Forgive him. You won't have a problem anymore." Boy, I tell you, started wrestling around and $175, and is there a way to forgive him, but yet him give me my $175 and the ways of man and the ways of that? And the Lord's voice would come to me. There's one answer. There's a solution to your thoughts and feelings. Forgive him. And then the Lord brought that picture of Stephen being stoned to death and seeing Jesus on the right hand of God standing. And then him saying, "Forgive them." Laid this not to their charge. Oh Lord. I had determined. I forgave him. Without him asking, I forgave him. And do you know it wasn't long after that that I went to Go-Mart. And there he was, right ahead of me. And he turned around and I know what he was going to say. He already said it twice. He turned around and he said, and I said, "You don't owe me a thing." I said, "It's all taken care of. You don't owe me a thing." And you know what? I come out of the Go-Mart that day. I felt part of my jubilee back. I felt the freedom of my spirit back again. I went out of there rejoicing in the Lord that He's got grace enough to live this life with, that we don't have to have bitterness under any situation. He had given me the answer to my life's problem. And what is $175 compared to my never dying soul? And I want to tell you something. In the back of my mind, I always thought, maybe someday he'll get saved. And he'll bring me that $175. And he hasn't yet. But I'm going to tell you what my heart to him is. I hope before he leaves this world that he gets his jubilee too. I hope the Lord brings salvation to this man's life. And I'm going to tell you, the forgiveness is full. He owes me nothing. He owes me nothing. And I was glad to be able to do it. And I honestly said to the Lord in prayer, "Lord, if this is the only thing that would keep him out of heaven, forgive him for Jesus' sake. And mean it. Don't hold that one thing that he done to me against him." And I believed it. This scripture says, "To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." The vengeance of our God is not vengeance on us. The vengeance of our God is vengeance against wickedness, against disobedience, against selfishness, against self-living, against evil and hard things that hurt people in their lives. That's the vengeance that He came to. And all how the Jews had it wrong. Jesus came to give them individual personal victory and a relationship with God. True deliverance that can't be taken away. And this is what the Lord died for. And it says, "The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that are mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes." Beauty for ashes. Amen. What's ashes good for? Well, I guess there's some good to the soil. But you know they won't burn. They already have. They're an insulation against fire because they've already burned all that they can burn. They're ashes. You know what they're worth? They're not worth anything. That's the point of this. But he said that he would trade. Here's the jubilee again. That he would trade the life that you took in your own hands, the plan of God that he had for you that you disregarded, and take that life and you took it and you ruin it, you burn it out and burn it up, and now you have nothing beautiful left. Oh, thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the plan of God. Because when I come to the Lord, that's exactly the way I felt. I had nothing. 22 years old and should have been in the prime of, if you want to say, having fun. I'd already run it out. And at 22 years old, I become miserable with my life. I despise my life. Was no joy in it at all at 22 years old. The Lord worked with me by 23 years old. I traded Him. I brought a worthless, burnt-out life, and I traded it to the Lord. I gave it to the Lord. "Lord, here is this worthless, burnt-out life." And He said, "I'll trade you beauty for ashes. You bring your ashes of your burnt-out and worthless life, and I'll make a beautiful picture out of a life again. One of integrity and uprightness. One with the ashes gone now. Something valuable left there. A life that still can be valuable." I'm going to tell you, there's no point. I don't believe there's a point in life that life's not valuable to God. And God wants to bring that to the even to that 11th hour. Amen. He wants to bring that jubilee into our lives. He wants to bring the precious things back. Because God looks at things different than we do. Oh, if He can bring salvation to a soul, even at last, folks, God loves every one of us. And He wants this in our lives. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Oh, sure. We become weak and down, but you know the Lord wants to give us something. A new vineyard. Something the Lord's planted that's valuable. Wherever you live, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Russia, wherever you live, wherever you're at, God's choice for you, your time, your place, your life, the way of the Lord in your life, God wants to make that full tonight. He wants to give us everything of our inheritance. He wants us to have all of those things. And one scripture said something about, how does it say that? About being able to, it slipped me there a minute. Something about can man seeing or knowing what God has prepared for him. You know what that scripture is? No ear has heard, no eye has seen the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. All the heritage of what God has prepared for us, the way. Victory here and glory over there. A life of God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.